Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob G., can you jump on the mic and tell Jonas what he brought up the Splenda for people who don't know?
I went
on social media and I said I had a beef and I was mad because I went to a restaurant and they only had that pink stuff. What is that called? Sweet and low? Nobody uses that. I mean, it tastes like powder. It's terrible. But anyway, thank God I had a stash in my glove box of Splenda. And I wanted to know if I should have gotten a discount on the price of my unsweetened iced tea because I had to supply my own sweetener. So, of course, today I text Rob G because I heard from Splenda today. Rob G?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, Rob Parker, who is struggling financially because of that video, is getting free Splenda as well as some Splenda swag. I don't know where you would wear it, but shout out to Rob Parker, the official Splenda spokesman.
I'm so sick of this crap. I'm so tired of having to bust my ass and sweat in the coal mines of sports talk radio on weekend overnights. You know, just slumming it with the rest of the country who's working hard. You know, just grinding away in the middle of the night, tossing papers, working security jobs, just trying to make ends meet. And Rob Parker has got a sponsorship opportunity with a fake sugar company. What the hell's going on here? This is unbelievable because he complained about an iced tea. Let me guess, is El Loco Polo or whatever it's called going to give Rob Parker free Diet Coke now because he bitched and moaned there? This is crazy.
No, they
man.
Missed out. If they would have come to the table, it would be different. Splenda is like, that's our guy, Rob Parker. Wow. All I want to know, how many times, can you imagine a sweetener stepping to the plate and hitting a home run?
Let me just tell you this right now. You want to know why Splenda is sending swag? Because Splenda probably has a gift shop online, and I don't know one single person on planet Earth that ever thought to themselves, you know what I could use? I could use a Splenda V-neck. You know, give me a Splenda V-neck shirt. That'll really tie this outfit together. Just some obnoxious yellow shirt. Do you have Jordans that are going to match with those, Rob Parker? Do you have shoes to go with those?
It is unbelievable. When I got the message today, so very, very
crazy.
Thrilled.
This is crazy.
That's great. But anyway, I figured you would love that. And I said, it is a Magic City Splenda Monday. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Jonas, let's kick it off with the NBA and the Lakers.
Yeah.
Because you know, being here in Southern California and all the Laker minions like Rob G and all those guys who are all up in arms and excited now and they're aroused. They just can't believe what they saw. The Suns went down to the Lakers last night and AD had 42 points and a stat line that had never been seen before. I don't know what that means. They probably threw in some things that, nobody else did at the time or whatever.
Right.
Whenever I see stuff like that, like the league's been around for 100 years, and he had a stat line we've never seen before.
First guy to score 40-plus with double-knotted shoes and three socks on at the same time.
You know,
Unbelievable effort.
Right. You know how that is. You've seen those things on ESPN when they come up with, like it's like, you know, and three blocks or, you know, like, and two forced turnovers or, you know, whatever it is. They have to come up with something to make it unique. But anyway, he played well, and they won. He had 42 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, and 3 steals. I guess it's the 3 steals that go with the 3 blocks. I have no idea. But the Lakers, anyway, Jonas, are currently 7th in the West, a full game behind Portland. They got back-to-back games coming up against the Knicks and the Rockets this week, and then back-to-back road games against the Pacers and Pelicans to close out the season.
Yeah.
Even if the Lakers go 4-0 while the Blazers go 2-2, I think the Lakers then can overtake them and, be in the 6th seed and avoid the play-in game anyway.
The most likely scenario, the way the math works out, is that they're going to be the 7. that is, from my understanding, as far as percentages go, that's where it looks like they're going to be the 7 seed, most likely scenario.
Yeah, you're asking them, but they got to win every single game, which yeah. is a chance that they're not. They played well last night, but we've seen the other
Absolutely.
Stinkers as well. And I'm just with you. I'm out on the Lakers. I'm out because too many things have to go right. LeBron has to be right. AD looks like he's got his legs. I don't know about the rest of the team. You know, people after last year, Jonas, when they won it in the bubble, the Mickey Mouse Championship, and I call it that because it was played in Orlando. I'm not poo-pooing it. It's a championship.
Just do it. Say it doesn't mean as much as a normal championship.
It's just the Mickey Mouse Championship. Yeah, but anyway.
Hey, you and I together, why don't we just call it what it is? LeBron James has got 3.5 rings. Let's just say it. Come on. Yeah, let's go with it.
And the other half is still in the Cracker box. Cracker Jack box. That's the other. You're still looking for the other part of the ring, you know? But anyway, so I'm out. I just think too many things have to go right. And then the road they have to take, you know, the first round could be against the Suns. I mean, they're going to play a good team in the first round, a really good team. I'm just out. I think that the road and where they are and the new group, I'm not that confident in.
You know what's so funny about this? So they win a game, and it was a great win for them. No LeBron James. Anthony Davis was fantastic, and you mentioned it. And they beat Phoenix, who's been really, really good all year long. And all of a sudden, it's like, yep, that was the real Lakers. Okay.
Right, right. That's what it is. It wasn't the one that was losing by 40 points to the Clippers the other night. No, that's not. No, LeBron's not playing.
Yeah, no.
But
no,
when they win a game, right, it doesn't
absolutely.
Matter.
And that's where the spin comes in. And my thing on this is, if they lose and we criticize them because they lose, we're told, you're freaking out over one game.
Right. Okay. And well, it doesn't matter because LeBron didn't play, so it doesn't matter. Right.
No, it's just one game. Okay, but if they win, then that's the real Lakers that have shown up. And I'm just wondering, all right, so if we both agree that we can't use the, okay, it's only one game rationale. If we can't use that, let's just throw it out. What about the last 10 since Anthony Davis has come back? Because they're 3-7.
Right.
Like, they're 3-7 since he's come back. So this idea that all of a sudden, we're back, baby, the Lakers are back, nothing to worry about here. Look, when LeBron went down, when Anthony Davis went down, I was skeptical. When LeBron went down, I said, oh, come on, man. Print the toe tags. Like, it's over. Like, this is not happening. It's not. No, they'll be fine. They'll be back. Don't worry about it. Okay, well, you've got two players who are now dealing with injuries a lot. LeBron's been injured 2 of 3 years in L.A., and Anthony Davis has always struggled with injuries. But I'm supposed to forget all of that and just pretend like none of that matters because they won a championship inside the bubble? And you and I talked about this before. There's a real chance, if you were asking me right now, we're in Las Vegas and you're staying in a suite and I'm like, you know, swimming in the Bellagio fountain because I can't afford a room because you got a Splenda sponsorship and I don't. But if we're in Vegas right now and you handed me $100 and you said, all right, yes or no, do the Lakers win another title with LeBron James? Without even finishing the question, I'm putting $100 on no. It's not happening. Last year, the bubble was the exception. It wasn't the rule. Like, that was the exception. The rule is what you're seeing now, and what you're seeing now is a team that's 3-7 since Anthony Davis has come back, and both those guys have injury concerns. I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you, but that's not – and I get it. You know, like, when a team wins, everybody picks them the next year. It's just automatic. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, they're going to win again. It's just like everybody said the Dodgers are going to win again this year. Have you watched any of that?
Why? What's going on with the Dodgers? Are they struggling? I haven't seen. What's happening with the Dodgers?
What are they, 15-5 in their last 20
so
or something?
So bad. So bad. They're bad.
Really, really bad. I know. Yeah. Embarrassingly bad. It's unbelievable. And they got so many good players on that team. But anyway, the Lakers. So it's interesting just to see how this plays out. And once LeBron gets back, and he already has his excuse built in, you know, like he said, he'll never be 100% again. So we already got that. And then if they lose, what about the road? But I hear all the local yokels in L.A. and people who are just, this scenario is even better for the Lakers. That's what I keep hearing. This is better than being the number one seed last year.
Yeah.
It's to be in a play-in game. Have you heard this?
Of course. Yeah, and you know what it is, too? You know LeBron's going to use this as ammo, because if they go on a little bit of a run, he's either going to use the play-in game as the excuse or the play-in game as another reason right. why he's so great. Just like the bubble. Like he was already laying the foundation for the excuse well ahead of time because of the bubble. You know, it's a disadvantage for the older players because we've got to be off this long, and then it just, like, there's always an ulterior motive here. And you get these people that blindly just want to kiss ass and follow along with whatever they're telling you and just go, oh, well, it must be true because it's coming from them. No, it must be true if it's coming from us, Rob Parker. That's what I believe in.
No doubt. 877-99 on Fox is our telephone number if you want to chime in. But this is going to be should they win the play-in? They should win that. After that, I'll see. And here's the other thing. You know, Rob G., pre-show was taught he's the biggest Laker homer there is.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
But he was saying, like, oh, yeah, they could beat the Suns. You know, they haven't been in the playoffs since Moby Dick was a guppy. They got all these young guys. You know, they won't be able to be ready for the pressure. And I'm like, the pressure to make a long run. And I'm like, they might not make a long run, but the first round, like, seriously, like, you might be right. Like, the second or third round they might not be able to get to because you have young guys. But to just do what they've been doing all year and play, I don't think that it's automatic that the Lakers would beat them. I really don't in the first round.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, and you mentioned Rob G. I mean, the biggest Laker fan I've ever met. He's actually got a hamster at home named Kurt Rambis.
Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, everything in his house is Laker colors. Everything about him. Like, he actually filed to change his name to Sadell Threet back in the day. Like, it's crazy. So when you hear it from Rob G., you know it's clearly a Santa. But he represents most of the L.A. Lakers. Laker fan base that we have to deal with, that we got to tiptoe around, because God forbid we speak out or say something that goes in, that spits in the wind of Laker Nation, and next thing you know, you and I are painted out like jerks and we get harassed on social media. We're the
all the time
here.
You know how it is. And Jonas, real quick, I just did get a DM on my Twitter, and an off-brand of substitute sweetener is offering you a deal since you're on overnights and late night when nobody's listening. So, you know, when you go to those bad restaurants and they just put it in a yellow envelope,
right.
even
right.
though there's no name on it, it'll just say, you know, sometimes sweet.
It's like, it's actually a post-it note that they fold up and put
right.
sugar in.
And put
just
sugar
give it to
in
me.
It.
Yes.
And that's the sugar that falls on the ground at the Splendor Factory.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that they repackage.
Oh, 100%. That's the stuff that the rats spit out when they don't want it anymore. They're like, get out of here. Can we get the real stuff, please? Yeah, that's what I get on weekend overnights.
Sorry about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob Parker, I mentioned this, that it's back. All right. Now, a long time ago, before some of these newbies started getting into sports radio and sports media, there was a phenomenon that took place on the sports talk radio airwaves and on sports talk television. And that phenomenon was known as Tebow time. Right, so Tim
he was
Tebow,
kneeling at football games. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah, it was great. So Tim Tebow has been gone for quite some time. Now, he tried to make it as a baseball player. He was with the New York Mets, and it just did not work out. It fizzled out. And then you started to hear some rumors or rumblings about a week and a half ago that potentially the Jacksonville Jaguars might look at him and potentially bring him on. And then the news was confirmed earlier today. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network was the first that I saw that reported it, that Tim Tebow is coming back. Tebow time is back. back, but he will be back as a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's going to try and make the roster. Obviously reunited with his former college coach, Urban Meyer, and I know you were thrilled to know that Tebow time was upon us yet again.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I've never seen so many people bend over backwards for a guy. I don't get it. I don't understand it. He got a baseball roster spot he didn't deserve, hadn't played baseball in a decade. People like him, so they just do whatever they can. And this, it's mind-boggling. He's 33 years old. He was in the NFL. It wasn't like he had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll. He was in the league for a couple of years. You know what? He was no good at quarterback. Back then, Jonas, people said, why don't you try out for tight end or play tight end? Because you can't throw the football. You know what he said? He wasn't interested in that. He said he was a quarterback, right? Am I right or wrong?
100%.
All right. So now he wants to play tight end, a position he never, N-E-V-E-R, never played in high school, never played in college, and never took a snap in his previous 3 years in the NFL. This is all about Urban Meyer, who coached him at Florida and won a national championship, and their buds and their friends and all that. It is the worst thing you can do is do this when you start opening the doors for friends and family. The NFL is one of the worst sports leagues ever because there's nepotism everywhere. Jonas, you know I'm right.
I know. No, I've always said the best gig in the world is being an NFL coach because you'll have a job for life because you end up on somebody's staff somewhere all the
yes,
time.
Yes, that's all they do is take care of each other and keep hiring them no matter how poorly or whatever happens. And this is another situation. I don't get it. Really, Urban Meyer, why? And then everybody said, well, you don't understand. He knows him. He was his coach, and there's no big deal to give anybody a tryout. Was Urban Meyer was a coach for 25 or 30 years in college, right?
Yeah.
Tim Tebow's the only player who ever played for him? What about all the other kids who actually played tight end who never got an opportunity in the NFL?
Yeah. Well,
they're getting tryouts, Jonas? Are they trying out at the Jaguars facility?
No,
all those other guys?
No, and you no, and I was because Aaron Hernandez was, but you know that's not going to happen. So yeah, listen, I hear you. There's this is Urban's guy, and he's going to come back and he's going to play tight end. I don't understand. Here's why is it a bad thing? Let me just ask you why is it a bad thing that Tim Tebow comes back to play football for the Jaguars? What's bad about it that bothers you the most about the
idea?
There
are other people who have actually played the position who would love an opportunity, and it's not there's not one for them. I brought up I brought up earlier in the historically black colleges. Deion Sanders went on a rant about this. Not one kid from that football. The black colleges and universities in this country got drafted in the NFL. Not one single kid, okay? And you mean to tell me there aren't other people who have played the position who would love an opportunity? That's what I'm talking about, Jonas. It's not that. If you told me he was going to be a third-string quarterback and hold the clipboard and probably would hang around for the next 4 years and just hold the clipboard and go to practice every day, could I buy that? Yes, I could buy that. But to play tight end and take a position from somebody who's actually put in the work, the time and the energy, this guy just said he wanted to play baseball for all those years. He quit baseball and said he had other callings. There was something else that was calling him, and it didn't sound like football. That's my issue. Why? If you can give me, just name me one other, Jonas, give me one other black player who played for Urban Meyer, who's been out of football since 2015, who had little to no success when he was in the NFL, and he got a tryout. If you give me one, two, three, four other guys, and they all got the same opportunity, I would be cool with it. But I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. And look, it is a relationship business. The NFL's always been that way. It's about who you know. You can go through every – like, why do they always bring up these coaching trees? Because these coaching trees are always there, and somebody knew somebody, and somebody was on somebody's staff. Like, you can go all the way back to you know, Belichick's coaching staff with the Browns. Everybody from Nick Saban to Kirk Ferentz to all these guys that were on the same staff, Scott Pioli, a lot of these other guys, Mike Lombardi, and they all kind of run, and it's like a web. Like, it's about who you know, and it's a relationship business. That's why when Urban Meyer makes a decision to bring Tim Tebow in, A, I'm not surprised, and B, I'm not that upset about it. Like,
well,
like,
but can
he,
I give you the difference?
Kick the tires. He wants can to I kick give the, you the tires difference? On it. Yes.
Because if you have black coaches doing that, they would be called into question. Like, this guy hasn't played. What in the world? Why would you be doing this? And that's why I have an issue with it. You talk about the relationships. Name me the last time a black coach hired an all-black staff and all of his friends and family were a part of the organization. If you can give me that, then I would buy into it. If there's a black coach, there's no way, Jonas, that he wouldn't even think about doing such a thing, because people would hold that to him, that he's hiring family members and nepotism. And this guy, yeah, let me hire my Uncle Bubba, who's never been a football coach. He's going to be my defensive coordinator. How would that go over? I'm just asking you.
How'd you know my uncle's name was Bubba? What the
I'm
hell's
just
wrong
saying.
With you? Stop looking at my Wikipedia. No, but here's where I think.
No, I want you to just respond to that.
Okay.
What am I saying? Is that crazy?
Okay.
Or am I speaking the truth?
Do you think Urban Meyer signing Tim Tebow is a race thing or a relationship thing?
I think it's, of course, he has a relationship with them. But my point is, I don't think he would do that for just any old body. And if you had examples of black guys in the same situation who flamed out in the NFL, I don't know any examples. You would have
Thomas,
to give me other examples, and I just don't believe in the whole idea that you having a relationship is good enough, because I'm just telling you, I don't think black coaches have the same leeway. And if they brought a guy in off the street who had never played the position, Rod Marinelli got hired as Lions head coach. Rod Marinelli never coached in a high school level head coach, was never a head high school coach or a head college coach. Never.
So, okay, were you upset when Logan Thomas was turned into a tight end after being a quarterback in college? Because he was a quarterback at Virginia Tech, and now he's a tight end in the NFL. Did you say anything about him getting a job over somebody else that had been playing tight end longer than him? Or was it based
on... Some of that stuff, and that used to go on too. I mean, if we go into the history of it, a lot of that was racist. They didn't want a black quarterback, so they tried to force guys to play other positions. They were forced.
Yeah, but I don't know that was the situation with Logan Thomas. I just think they looked at a guy and said, hey, man, this might work. And guess what? He had a damn good year last year for Washington.
Did Tim Tebow play...
Catches.
What did he do last... Was he playing football last year?
No, he was playing
baseball. How about the year before?
No, I agree with you. But I don't think this is a race thing. I think this is a relationship thing. I think he's got a relationship with Urban Meyer, and this, I think the bigger issue that I might have is the close-knit circle of friends in the NFL that just seem to always come back around. Like, it's really hard to not find a job if you're a coach in the NFL.
Except if you're black. No, Jonas, and I'm gonna call it like I see it. Unless you're black and you can't get another gig. This is what I'm talking about.
Okay,
You're right. But most of those guys who keep on the treadmill and keep getting hired, they're white. They're not black. That's the problem.
Okay.
And that's the issue in the league.
Okay, but is that just because of black white, or is that a numbers thing to where there are more white coaches in the NFL than there are black coaches?
No,
which goes to a different conversation of what about just entry into the league, the hiring process into the league? Is it where everybody wants it to be as far as getting more black coaches or minority coaches into the NFL? Probably not, but I do think they've made efforts and strides. Now, I think the Rooney Rule. I personally, it's insulting.
Of course, there you go. And that's, you were just saying that, and I was going to say the Rooney Rule. It tells you how deep-rooted the problem is, and that's why I have an issue with it. If you can give – I just have a problem with it because I don't think black coaches would do it because they would be scrutinized for it. Oh, he's hooking up his nephew who was this. Can you imagine a black coach taking his nephew who played some other position and gave him a tryout and gave him a contract to play some other position he's never played? I just couldn't imagine it. That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah. No, listen, I do think that there's when it comes to the close-knit community that is the NFL, it feels like it happens in that league more so than like, look, in the NBA, you don't need any coaching experience and you're going to get a job. All you have to do is be a good player and you're going to get a job, whether it be a Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, whether it's a Steve Nash, like all you have to do is just be a good player at some point during your career. Luke Walton, who was an okay player from time to time, like you could just get a job. In the NFL, it feels like once you're in it, the hardest part is getting a foot in the door. And once you get that foot in the door, then things start to open up for you. This thing with Tim Tebow, though, that feels more like this is about his past with Urban Meyer. I also think this, look, Tebow was too good to play tight end. Let's just call it what it was. He still saw himself as a quarterback, and I've talked multiple teammates of Tim Tebow's who have told me, and a guy that I had on my weekend overnight show, which I know you always say you never have missed it, right? I never missed that show. Yeah, why is that?
I never listened to it, so I never missed it.
See, so you would have known that we had a guy who was a former teammate of Tim Tebow on who said, and I quote, and this is somebody who played in the NFL for 7 years and played Division I college football, and I quote, Tim Tebow was the worst quarterback I ever played with. And not even close, the worst quarterback I ever played with. And he still saw himself as a quarterback. And I wonder if he looks around and says, all right, well, I don't have much time left, so let me knock on a couple of doors. And Urban Meyer's like, I'll give you a shot. I don't think he's going to make the team. I don't think Tebow's making the team. But the fact that he's here, I think, is more of the relationship
I'll bet you 10 wings he made. They will do whatever it takes for him to be on the team.
Let me tell you something. Last time we did this.
I guarantee you that.
All right. Last time we did this, you bet that Sam Darnold would throw a touchdown on his opening drive in the NFL, and he threw a pick six.
Yeah, I should have won.
Pick six. Yeah, my ass. He's pick six. You found a loophole, and you still haven't paid me back. Still haven't paid me back.
It was a touchdown. I told you it would be a touchdown his first pass.
It was for the other team,
but it was a touchdown.
Pick six.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's talk about your favorite quarterback, Mr. Tom Brady.
Yes.
Making some news. Rob G, where are you? Can you jump in?
I'm always here when you need me, Rob.
We don't need to bring Rob G in.
Yeah, we need Rob G. Rob G, Tom Brady got up on, made some impassioned speech. Can you give us some of the details? Because, you know, he's the Norma Ray of the NFL now. You know,
That's right.
He's got a wife who makes $1 gazillion, and he's Norma Ray now.
The NFLPA has been fighting the good fight for a while now. They're really upset at the NFL and what they're calling, you know, overzealous off-season workout programs. And they're pointing to last season during the pandemic when everything was done virtually. And they said, hey, look how great the product was on the field. We don't need to come in and do these workouts. We don't need to do on-field training. We don't do meetings in person. We can do it all from home. Well, Tom Brady jumped on their call on Friday. And apparently what he was saying is we need to have more unity amongst players. And he's expecting very intense negotiations between the NFLPA and some of these NFL representatives, including coaches of these own players. And according to the NFL Network, one thing that Tom Brady said, he said, quote, the NFL offseason is overcompetitive and there's no effing pro baseball player throwing 95 miles an hour in mid-December. So implying, you know, the offseason is for the offseason. We don't need to be killing ourselves in person.
Now, this is where Tom Brady, this is like typical Tom Brady. First of all, the union should have been fighting for health care and better and guaranteed contracts. You know, that's where they should really put their fight in. But now here's Tom Brady to come save the day because he's been selling out his brethren for his whole career, taking less money than market value because, of course, his wife makes a gazillion dollars, so he doesn't care about that. But other guys have owners come to them and say, well, you know, Tom Brady took less. You know, we don't know how to run our books and to run the salary cap, so we need you to bail us out. So you should do that for us because Tom Brady did it for us, and you know what it got Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So first of all, he's always been a guy who sold out the brethren by doing that. Number two, now he wants this with no offseason because he's an old geezer, and he doesn't want to come. And that's why this works for him and why he doesn't want to take part in it. Because all he wants to do is show up for game days now, have a cup of coffee, a sweet roll, and a chest x-ray, and he wants to play quarterback for Tampa Bay. This kills me. Really?
Yeah.
Tom, where were you when they needed somebody to stand up and fight, really fight against what the NFL was doing to the players with guaranteed contracts and all this other stuff? Really, they're going to fight for this? This is what they should unify for so that they can protect a 45-year-old quarterback who's trying to play till he's 60?
Yeah, listen, I hear you. Did you know Tom Brady was born in 1977? Can you believe that? Like that's how old Tom Brady is. 2 years later, do you know what else was born? The movie Norma Rae, which you referenced a moment ago. What the hell are you talking about? Norma Rae? That's what we're pulling up in hour three? You pull a Sally Field movie from 1979 as the comp for Tom Brady because he jumped on a conference call to try and help the NFLPA? Norma Rae?
Is it about helping the NFLPA or helping Tom Brady? Really?
Of course.
Is it about him or Tom Brady? It's always about Tom Brady.
Look, you know how many players, and this was the problem that took place at the last CBA. And this is why guys like Aaron Rodgers and some of these other guys were pissed. Do you know how many players probably didn't even vote or didn't even check the email or the details or the fine print on what would be included in the CBA? And all of a sudden the vote came and went and everybody went, wait, what did we agree to? It's not Tom Brady shouldn't have to do this. Like, guys should know what's going on. They should know how to handle this stuff. Tom Brady shouldn't have to come in because the NFLPA is a disaster. D'Amore Smith has butchered this thing for years and years now. This new remember all the talk we were having conversations with people a couple years ago. You remember when the NFLPA was coming out, D'Amore Smith and these guys were saying, "Hey, we're telling you right now, next CBA, we're not going to play so nice." And what did they do, Rob Parker? They agree to everything. The owners got it all, including an extra game during the regular season.
They totally buckled under.
It's terrible. And the fact that anybody's got to come in this late in the game to try and speak up and represent the players because they've – like the Juwan James thing in Denver, the fact that the NFLPA comes out and tries to bite back at the league and say, oh, you know, that's embarrassing. That they would come out and expose our guy. Because here's what happened. They didn't make it clear to players when they were pushing for him, don't go to the team facilities. Don't go to the team facilities. Juwan James got hurt and might be out like $9 or $10 million because it was away from the team facility. Why were they pushing this narrative without giving everybody the facts? Like, they can't get on the same page. I'm not going to fault Tom Brady for getting on a call with these guys because, of course, he's going to look out for what's best for Tom Brady. That's why he went to Tampa Bay, because he was looking out for what's best for Tom Brady. I think the bigger issue, and we've talked about this before, people can bag on baseball all they want, man. There's not a league alive that wouldn't kill to have the strength that the MLB Players Association has. And the fact that this stuff has got to be done by Tom Brady, whoever, just goes to show you how flawed the NFLPA is. It's a
no
joke,
doubt.
Man.
They
it's
laugh.
Terrible.
The MLB play, the players, they laugh at the other league.
Oh my
they
God.
Laugh
like,
because they cannot get over. Like, the NFL, all it does is brag about the money it makes.
Exactly.
That's all they do is brag about the money they make, but they don't do what's right for the players. They give them phony contracts. They can cut them whenever they want. Jonas, all these other things. Okay, look, you got to take a pay cut, right? If you underperform on your contract.
Yep.
But if you overperform, you have no recourse,
yeah,
right?
You get franchised. You get franchised.
It doesn't even make sense. Who would agree to such a system that's so one-sided?
And that's why When I hear, because you know how this goes. Everybody today thinks they're going to get somebody on as a guest, or they're going to be invited to somebody's Super Bowl party, so they don't want to be critical of these players. But every time a player comes out and he complains about the franchise tag in the NFL, I'm sorry, man. How many more times do you have to go through this before you go, we got to take a stand? Like we got to put our foot down and take a stand. This is how strong the Major League Baseball Players Association is. Just think about this. The Houston Astros were caught cheating and won a World Series. And not only did they not lose their World Series rings or their World Series trophy.
Which was never going to happen.
Yeah, or their trophy. Rob, they didn't even get punished as long as they talked. That's it. As long as they had a conversation, and they didn't even have to come out and admit everything all the way through, because their players' association has their backs through and through. Like, no matter what, hey, listen, people may not like this, but we got your back. We don't care what other people think. We got your back. And those guys have always had the better union and are always the envy of these other leagues, like the NFL. You think something like this would happen in Major League Baseball? You think Mike Trout would have to get on a call to try and encourage guys to rally around and try and make the most of a deal they just signed for the next 10 years? They're locked into this for 10 years.
And the other one, you know, the Tom Brady taking the pay cut and Patrick Mahomes agreeing, like the best quarterback in the league and everything going on, he got $63 million guaranteed up front. Can you, what kind of, really? That's what Patrick Mahomes got? How in the world could anybody else demand anything? And do you remember when A-Rod was going to go to Boston and wanted to take a pay cut to go from Texas? And what did the union say? What?
Absolutely.
You're not,
not
taking a pay cut. It's not happening. We
Absolutely
don't care
not
where you want to go.
And when people were sort of critical of the Fernando Tatis contract, when they looked at the deal and they said, oh, man, like, we get it that, you know, look, it's money and it's generational wealth and we get all that. But, man, why don't you just wait a little bit and maybe you'll end up earning more. Fernando Tatis is going to get every single penny of that. Everybody, this isn't
He's
one of these.
He's 22 years
yes
old. They gave
yes
him $300 million.
Yes.
And you know what, Jonas?
Every penny.
Every penny. And they could have waited 4 more years before he made any real money. That's how he would have had to play 4 more before he even sniffed any money. Are you crazy? Who wouldn't take $300 guaranteed?
I totally agree. The Bryce Harper contract, everyone, oh my God, it's a bat. The Albert Pujols contract, that's one there that just broke down, and he's no longer an LA Angel of Anaheim, Barstow, or wherever the hell they're counting the Angels from nowadays. But Albert Pujols signs that contract, and there's people going, oh my God, that's such a terrible contract. Yeah, for who?
For who?
Major League Baseball is so strong that Albert Pujols, on the verge of breaking down, is going to end up making how much money in his career? That's a bad contract? We could sit here and complain about it all we want and say, man, why do teams continue to give these players these kind of deals? Because their union has their backs. Their union says, no, guys, trust us. This is going to get done. People doubted whether or not Bryce Harper was going to get paid. Guess what? He got paid. People doubted whether or not Manny Machado was going to get paid. Guess what? He got paid. If you're the NFLPA, pull the MLBPA aside and say, hey, man, how do you do it? Seriously, like, how is this done? So 10 years from now, we actually will put our foot down and stand up and do something about the fact that we feel like we're being wronged by the league. It's crazy. Absolutely
it is
crazy.
And now we got Tom Brady standing up and waving the flag in support of the union and leading people.